Okay, so I'll ask Victor and Ruth to come up. And we just thought, these interviews, you get to know a little bit more about somebody that you don't know. And Ruth is very nervous. So come right close. Because, you know, we hear lots about Victor because he tells stories and some of them are not always true, are they, Ruth? No. Oh, well, yes. And so I thought my first question is, Ruth, tell us where you were born and where you grew up.
So I was originally born in Northern Ireland. We left there when I was 7. Moved to South Africa, Johannesburg, and when I was almost 10, we moved back to Ireland, and when I was 12, we moved back to South Africa, and we would have been back and forward to Ireland and back again, but my mum said no. So I mainly grew up in South Africa, but I've still got an Irish accent.
I was originally, I don't know what that means, I was born in South Africa one time and lived there for 40 years and then decided to live here for the next 40 and see after that.
And so how did you become a Christian?
I grew up in a Christian home. We always went to church, that was just what we did. And I believe my mum told me when I was 5 years old, I came home from Sunday school very excited one day that I'd given my heart to Jesus. I think it was only later on in my teen years that I really had a relationship with the Lord. I was baptized when I was 18, and I was only filled with the Holy Spirit when I was about 35. Yep, I'm 36 now.
At about 4 years old, my dad had a radical encounter with God in a little Assembly of God church and got saved with my mom. I got saved when I was 10 years old in a little school assembly in a town called Witpoortjie. Everyone say Witpoortjie? That's average. So a little suburb, and it was a school hall, pack in, pack out. And I remember the pastor saying, if anyone wants to give their heart to the Lord, and you know, you get all sweaty and you get all nervous and that. And so me and one little boy on the other side of the aisle put up our hands, and we got saved, 10 years old, yeah.
Okay, so now we're all wanting to know how you got together, okay? Your version? But a long story made short.
Online. we met through church. Yeah, if that's... we've been married 12 years, and we've known each other for 24 years. We both went through marriage breakups and ended up together. And just like Pastor Eleanor said this morning, opposites attract. We're completely opposite to each other. He's the loud one, I'm the quiet one.
Do you want to add anything to that, Victor?
Yeah, our senior pastor introduced us. We weren't married at the time, but our senior pastor introduced us as families, and we spent many years together, and then sort of split paths. I moved to New Zealand, and somehow we met online once we were both divorced and thought, what a great idea. Don't do it.
You might have to ask him to explain that a little bit more. Okay, here we go. My favorite question that Ruth's all ready to go with is, tell us something that we don't know about you.
Well, this is the question that you've asked everybody, so I thought this might be a good one. So I was actually... you probably know quite a bit about me because Victor always tells all my secrets, but one that he didn't tell you was that I was actually a member of a girl band for about 5 years. My sisters and I were called the Adams Trio, and we often got 10p. You know, we went to different churches, and we got forced to sing as the Adams Trio. There was 3 vocalists and 1 guitarist. And, we were known as the Adams Trio, and we were often sought after.
Wow, there you go.
Yep. Abby, send me that application. You know.
I honestly don't know what it is. The one thing I will say, I've never been to another church in Tauranga for a church service, ever. This is the only church in Tauranga I've ever been into, yeah, for a church service. I've been in lots of them for other things, but not a church service.
I'm not sure that's a good or a bad thing, you know? Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. Don't go try and visit another church. Hey, why don't you give Victor a big hand as he comes and speaks?
Awesome. Thank you, Alan. Can I just say quickly, just a disclaimer, I'm very happily married to my wife. What I was saying, don't meet anyone online and don't try the blended family thing. Anyone married yet tonight? Stay married. It's good advice. My wife, I thought about it earlier today. All the staff at the atrium make me look very good at the cafe, and my wife makes me look very good in life. So well done to you, love. And let's pray, and then we'll have a look at the Word of God. Father God, thank you that you're in this place tonight, and whether we felt you or not, you are here. And God, I pray tonight that as I speak, you would take these words and you'd use them, that you would change people's lives, change the way they think, change the way they think about you, the way they think about people around them. Most of all, that we'd think greater of you and you'd be more famous tonight than when we came. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so we're talking about the series One Another, and that's really one of our values there at the church. We may not have it written up on the wall, but we're a church that believes in being friendly and inviting people and living in community. And I love what Pastor Joel Mulgate, when he was speaking on a vision series, he said, having a vision like that, or any vision, it forms a riverbank in your life. So it's the riverbanks that direct the way the flow is going to go. They're things you don't necessarily see, but they stop you deviating out of where you are. And all together is one of our riverbanks in this church, that we do stuff all together, and it keeps us all going in the same direction. And it forms the way we think, it forms the way it guides us, it shapes us. It's like a riverbank in our lives. And so I want us to keep that in mind as we talk about it tonight. And so, as I said, I'm going to talk about community. And we probably have never lived in a world that's more individualistic than it is now. A world that drives individualism, and you got to be yourself. Don't be what anyone else wants you to be. You can even decide what you want to be, and you can tell other people they have to call you that. And it's all about you and what you want to do and where you want to go. It's about your rights. You have freedom of choice. It is interesting. I think to do stuff together we do it together, it's our thing, we do it together, is better than the opposite of ourness is minus. Minus is a little negative sign. You don't want to be minus, you want to be part of ourness, that we all partake and do stuff together. And let's make sure we do that. God was interesting, right in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. So God said, let us make man in our image. The devil, when he spoke, he said, I will become like God. And he was all about being individualistic and not part of the us that God had us been in. Pastor Ellen says you always need to look at the law of first mention in the Bible. And so the law of first mention about us being together, God called a lot of things good right in the start of Genesis. The first thing he said was not good was that man should not be alone. And I don't think he was only talking about man. He was talking about mankind should not be alone. God made everything and he said it was good. When he saw man alone, he said, that is not good. And so this goes right back to the beginning. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and they can conquer. Three is even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. And so it's talking about community and the strength in community. I'm sure you've heard it spoken about coals in a fire. If you have a bunch of coal that are burning in a fire and you take one out, it doesn't last very long. But together in the fire, it stays burning longer. And it's the exact same with us. You can come in here and be blazing and on fire for Jesus. But if you pull yourself out, you're going to just fizzle out and you won't be anything. You keep the heat and you stay together and you keep the effectiveness when you stay together. So the word community in the dictionary says it's a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. The next part says it's a condition of sharing or having certain attitudes and interests in common. The sense of community that a religious group can have. And so that's what we are. And so I want to break the word community into common unity. And that's what community is. You have a common unity. I mean, there's people here from all different backgrounds, different countries. We even have Northern Irish. I've got to get that right. We have all sorts of different backgrounds, and there's people who do trade, there's professional people, there's people who are students, there's moms, dads, people who are not married, people who are married, but we have a common unity in Jesus Christ, which should draw us together, and that's what we really need to look at. Now, there's a verse in the Bible in, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's an interesting scripture, and I've heard it. You've heard it spoken lots before. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked." Ever heard that scripture before? And normally it's spoken about in a marriage context. That chapter is actually not talking about marriage at all. That chapter, Paul's talking about the gift that you've been given by God. Don't ignore that gift. And he's talking about the way we should live, that the way we live doesn't trip up anyone. And then he says in verse 14, where it says, "Don't." In some translations, "Don't be unequally yoked." And in another, in NLT, it says, "Don't team up with anyone who's an unbeliever. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness?" So I believe it applies to marriage and to business and all those things. But I think the other thing it applies to is maybe the body of Christ. We need to make sure we have a common interest and not unequally yoked. So half of us believe this and half of us believe that, so we just can't get together. We have to have a common interest and we have to believe the same things. You know what's interesting? A yoke is a wooden bar that joins two oxen together, and so that they share the burden. They pull together. So when you're unequally yoked, you have a stronger ox or a weaker one, or a taller and a shorter one. So when you have a weaker and a stronger ox, you can never plow properly because you plow in circles. Because the one's always pulling more than the other one. And sometimes the body of Christ, we are not equally yoked, and so we're just going in circles. Because we're not effective, we're not pulling together. We don't have a common unity. And so I want to start off tonight looking at something really interesting. I'm going to do an illustration, because who thought the illustrations were great at Increase? Yep, so I'm going to steal some of them. Not really, but a little bit. So I need sort of 10 people. I'm going to pick on a few people tonight quickly. So I think I've got to go past Alan. You're going to have to come up here. Just going to pick on you first, because this fits. Come stand up here, please, and hold this. So this is part of the 10 Commandments. So you can just stand anywhere. Stand on the end there, and we'll line you up. That one will be good for you. No other gods. Who are we going to get? Eden. Come on, mate. No other idols. That guitar you got. No, I didn't say anything about your guitar. Come up. No other idols. These are the 10 Commandments. Who else wants to go? I need a lady. Just you can stand that side. Yeah, I don't mind. Anywhere's good. Come on, I want a lady. Anyone? Tori. There we go. Tori, well done. Someone nominated you. I don't know who that was. You don't want to take God's name in vain. Come on, you've got to make this quick. Cheryl's got a smirk on her face. She's going to come up quickly. Come on, Cheryl. There we go. Cheryl, you're going to keep the Sabbath. Come on, I need four other people. Where are we going to go? We've got some of the young guys. This is definitely going slower than what Boyd did. Okay, one of the updates, Andrew there. Come on, Andrew. There we go. And Andre. Andrew and Andre. Where are they? Is he gone? No, there they are together. Who are you calling out? Isaac. Come on, Isaac, quickly. We'll give Isaac no adultery. Come on, quickly. Make it snappy, boy. We've got another three. We need some more. Come on, you hold that one. Did someone say Ruby? Where's Ruby? Come quickly. Just take that one. What are we going to go? Yeah. Honor your mother and father. It'll be good for the Uptons. No murder, Andre. There we go. No stealing, Ruby. We need two more. Come on. Who are we going to get? Yeah. Got to get someone. Lee. Come on, Lee. Lee. Yep. Don't look like it. Come on, quickly. Come on. Just make a move. We'll be quick. You'll be good. We got you. No false witness. That's good. You've got to spread out. Don't leave that crowd so far alone. There we go. I need one more. Who are we going to get? Leah. Oh, sorry. Leah, where are you? Leah, Mom dobbed you in. Come on, quickly, Leah. You've got to give your daughter a shout-out in church. Go, Leah. Okay, so we've got upside down, Andre. Upside down there, Isaac. Turn it around. Okay, so what I want to do quickly, because we need to have common unity. So these are the 10 Commandments, and I want us to order them quickly from left to right, because we've got to be in agreement. Okay, so in our church, yeah, and the church we were here this morning, which one of these do you think will be the least practiced? We want to put it on that side. Anyone, which of these do you think will be the least practiced in our church? If I look at this body, and we all have to be honest. Murder. Okay, murder. Off you go. Right on the end there, murder. We really hope so. We really hope that's on the end, okay? What else? What else should move that way, and what should move this way? You've got to help me quickly. I'm running out of time. Adultery. Adultery, go that way. Yep. Past murder or before murder? Just before murder, okay. So there might be, but we're not sure. No. Okay, come on. What about Pastor Alan there? No other gods before you. Where do you think that'll go? In our church? That end? How far? Hey, all the way. Okay, all the way, Alan. All the way. All the way. What about using God's name in vain? Where do you reckon? Stay there. Woo. Okay, what about keeping the Sabbath? You mean we keep the Sabbath? Anyone, come on. You're the only ones answering. Where should the Sabbath go? That way or that way? Do we keep the Sabbath or don't we?
That way.
That way, okay. Go that way. All the way, Cheryl. How far? So we do keep the Sabbath. We're pretty good at the Sabbath. Some of you are. Okay, no false witness. No false witness. No, you know, talking about, where should that go, guys? Do we, this way? So we do a bit of that. Okay, we do a bit of that. Lisa, we'll just go in the middle. Yeah, just past Sabbath. No stealing. Anyone steal? Where should we go with stealing? Do we? Is it the least practiced or do we do it? You reckon that way? I saw you pointing that way. Yep, right, we'll move that way. Move up one or two that way. Past false witness, maybe. Okay, where have we got? No coveting. What about coveting? Coveting way down this side? Okay, you go way down that side, Leah. Yeah, that's why we're going this way. That's why we're going this way. So remember, if we keep the commandment, that's good. We go that way. If we're not good at it, we go this way. Okay? Where are we going up to? Honor your mother and father. We won't look at this part of it. We'll look at this group. So do you say we do honor our mother and father? Oh, we're pretty good. Okay. That's only one person who said that. Everyone agree? There's a few agreeing. Well, no, the commandment's in order of... So we want you down that side, Andre, yeah. Unless you feel you've murdered someone. No? Okay. No stealing. Did we do no stealing? We did no stealing. No idols. Where do you reckon that should go? Are we pretty good or do we have idols in our lives? Keep it there. Oh, that's pretty harsh. Okay, is everyone happy with this? Anyone want to make any changes? Is this how we stack up with the Ten Commandments? Rochelle, you? Coveting. Leah's nodding. Move, Leah. Go about halfway in the middle. Anyone else got an opinion about any of these? Our senior pastor's pointing. Ellie? No, then it must go that way. Oh, sorry, you're right. Andre, you're wrong. Don't confuse us. So you feel we do cover it, we should go that way. Okay, go back that way. Go second to the end. Second to the end. Okay. What about the Sabbath, everyone? Do you reckon we keep the Sabbath? Who said no? Okay. Let me go over a few things quickly. Let me do something quickly. I'll just pick one or two. So coveting, in the original meaning, coveting doesn't mean wanting a nice car. That's not bad to want a nice car or to want a house. It means that you're prepared to hurt someone to get that house, or you're prepared to hurt them to get their car. That's what coveting means. Okay. What about Sabbath? We've lost the Sabbath. You're over here. So Sabbath is the Jewish word Shabbat, which means to stop. So how often do we really stop everything we're doing, put on mobile phones, put on everything and say, today I'm just going to rest and think about God and focus on God and look at that? No. Okay. What I want to say, when Jesus came, he basically said, crumple up all those pieces of paper, please. And he said there's only really one commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second one's like it, to love your neighbor. So if we break any of those commandments, we normally break in one of those two. We either don't love God. So if you don't keep the Sabbath and stop and think about God, it's because you don't love God enough. If you murder, you don't love your neighbor or someone around you. And those two commandments wrap it all up. So you can go and sit down. All those are thrown away. Thank you. who's going to pick that up, Tori? Okay. So the main thing I wanted to show you was, even just a simple thing like the Ten Commandments, we don't agree. There were people pointing that way, the people pointing that way. We all have our own little pet subjects. There's some that you go, man, I've aced that one. There are others that you're going, man, I hope they didn't call me and give me that label. But we all need to come to the point that Jesus came and changed all of that and said, there's only really one commandment, to love the Lord your God. And you see, if you look at a wagon wheel, and if Jesus is the hub or the center of a wheel, any of the spokes, the more you get close to the center, you're closer to each other. And that's what happens in community. The closer you get to God, the more you love God. And the closer you get to God, the closer you become to each other. You cannot get close to God and not be close to people. It's impossible. The Bible says that you cannot love God if you can't love man who you can see around you. And so we need to make sure we've got that first thing in perspective. If you can't keep that simple rule, that I love God, because that determines all the other rules, and that you obey and keep all the other things. every one of the commandments that we ever break, we actually only break in the one commandment that Jesus made, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, body, and soul. A real measure of community then is how we look out for each other, how we look out for one another, how much we prepare to go out of our way for the people around us. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And he says, our Father, not my Father, our Father. And he teaches us how to pray. And then he goes on, even later in that same chapter, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God, you have community in the right perspective. You can't be a do-good and have all the best intentions with the community if you don't love God. Because sooner or later, you're going to slip up and fall down. You have to love God first. It's interesting, in our lives, on our own, we drift away from God. No one drifts to God. It's just natural that you're going to drift away from God. You have to be intentional about moving to God. And so if you are hanging with people who are not intentional about moving to God, they're going to drift from God, and so are you going to drift from God. You have to be intentional about it. So who are the people you're hanging out with? What is the community like around you? Are they being intentional about following God, about following the way, or are they just drifting away? Jesus prayed, one of the last prayers he prayed that they would be one as you and I are one, talking to God. Jesus prayed that we'd be one. So the goal is definitely unity. Jesus wants us to be in unity. He prayed for it. He wants us all believing the same thing. He wants us all wanting the same thing. There's a strength in unity. Out of the word community, obviously you get the word unity. And when you're in community, you have a unity which binds you together and keeps you together. It's interesting, the Tower of Babel is a story in the Bible where God said that nothing will be impossible for these people. We need to stop them speaking the same language, else they will build this tower all the way to heaven. Now, I don't understand exactly what that meant, but what I do know is that when you're in unity and you've got a good cause, God's not going to stop that. And so when you're in unity and you're trying to work towards God and get to know God, anything is possible and God won't stop that. They had bad intentions in that story and wanted to get to heaven so that they could be like God. But God said there's nothing that they can't do. And so unity was the key to take out of that story. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, do two people walk together unless they have agreed to meet? You can't walk together somewhere if you haven't agreed to meet. And that's what community is. And so we come to church and we have said, man, I accept Christ as my Savior, and so therefore I have to accept you around me, and we agree that we're going to meet and move forward. I think there's never been a time more than now when we've been divided and separated on opinions as what we've just been through the last 2 years. And I think we need to make sure that we major on the majors and minor on the minors. If we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he was the Son of God and died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that we're going to be with him one day, that should be enough for us to have common unity. The other little points we can talk about and disagree on, but if you're going to major on the majors, that's what we need to do, so that we can have common unity. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 8, I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral or impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try and excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in such things as these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light, the light of the Lord. So live as people of the light. You cannot have darkness and light living together. And so unless you have a common interest and a common unity of what you believe, you can't have what God has promised. The Bible actually says you will have no part in the kingdom of God. And so that verse on unequally yoked, it said they have nothing to do with them in some translations. And you've got to hold in tension the fact that we are called to be make disciples, we are called to witness and to serve our community and the world outside. But you need to make sure that you're not having fellowship with them in a way that it's going to detract from your relationship with God. You see, when you are spending that much time with them, that you start slipping away from your relationship with God, I think you've missed the point of making disciples. And you are missing. The Bible says we are to be imitators of God and in everything that we do. Ephesians 2 verse 10 is another verse that's interesting. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. It doesn't say for I am God's masterpiece. It says for we. And this is the mystery that God has done, that he has made us the body of Christ. We are the temple of God together. It's the group of believers that is now the body of Christ. That is a mystery that you and I could probably never, ever figure out. When they spoke about this and they said that in the end times, God will pour his spirit out on man, those prophets must have gone, what are you talking about? You know, this God, when he was on a mountain, the children of Israel begged Moses not to let that God speak anymore and not to let that God speak to them, but to get the message and bring it to them themselves because they did not want to hear it anymore. And then the prophets go on to say, that same God is going to come and live inside of you. They thought, no way, how is that possible? But that is the mystery of what God has designed, and we would understand it, that God comes to live inside of us. And if God is living inside of me and God is living inside of you, how am I or who am I to call anything different on you? Who am I to judge you? Who am I to say, I don't want to hang around with you? You have the living God inside of you. And so we need to make sure that we rightly judge the body of Christ, because that's where God is. God's living inside of you and I. And we can't say, well, I want nothing to do with you. We need to have a common unity, God inside of us. So as a we form God's masterpiece. On your own, you're not God's masterpiece. You need to be part of the we to be God's masterpiece. Isn't it ironic? Last week, Pastor Boyd was speaking about if you were a Christian and you took the word Christ, all you're left with is the person Ian. And he said, who's Ian anyway? That same weekend, Hurricane Ian was busy destroying the eastern part of America. Isn't that ironic? What he said. If you take out Christ, you're left with Ian, and that's the hurricane that destroyed that. So I'll leave you to think about that for yourself. But I thought, man, isn't that amazing? He just said, who's Ian? Just another person. But let me tell you now, a Christian, someone with Christ inside of them, doesn't do anything destructive. They do good. They're imitators of God. They put God first. They shine God. They don't do anything to cause anyone else to stumble. That's who we're called to be, to have a common unity, to put God first, and to be that way. Let's live out that Ephesians 2. Paul often, in a lot of his scriptures, he talks about being one with Christ and being like Christ. And then he goes on and he talks a lot about brothers and sisters. Probably the most common term he uses for believers is brothers and sisters, siblings. You know, when you're part of a family, you can't choose when you want to leave. You know, you've heard it said you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Well, when you accept Christ, you become part of the family. You can't choose who's part of the family. And if you leave this church because someone in the family is annoying you, you're going to get to the next church and someone in the family is going to annoy you. Because the problem's with you and not with them. We are called to be part of a family. We are brothers and sisters. And we need to make sure we do that together. Ephesians 2:21 says, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple of the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles, people who are not Jews, are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And that's what Paul's talking about. We are temples. Jesus even spoke about us being brothers and sisters. They came to him and said, your mother and your brother and sisters outside to speak to you. And he said, who are my brothers and sisters? It's you who do the will of the Father. And so we are definitely called to be together and in unity while we're still trying to live separate to that. It's interesting as well that the Bible says to different people, different gifts are given. And so God's intention was to give gifts to build the body of Christ, to build the church. But he gave different people different gifts. So you can't have all the gifts if you don't have the whole body together. And so as a body of Christ, we're missing stuff because people decided not to come today. I've said it before. When you wake up in the morning, if your hand says, I'm not coming along today, you're in a bit of trouble. But the body of Christ does that. Some of us say, well, I'm not coming today. I've got something else to do. Could we say that when you do that, and this is for people who are not yet today, but could you say when you do that, you're saying something is more important than coming to the house of God? That's what we're really saying when we miss. Now, I'm speaking to the converted because you all, yeah, so you can pat yourself on the back. But when you don't, that's what you're doing. You're saying there's something more important to do. Isn't it funny that a lot of the issues in the world today that we hear that are pretty predominant, and I don't make light of any of them, but we talk about depression. Isn't it funny that depressed people are just want to isolate? They don't want to be around people. Isn't it funny that anxiety problems, people don't want to be around people, they want to isolate and move away? It's a trick of the devil to get you to get away from people. And I'm not saying that you just need to get on with it. I'm saying get help, seek professional help. But I'm telling you now that it's a trick of the devil to get under you and to stop you living at the best that God has for you when he gets you to isolate. Isn't it ironic that for years, solitary confinement in prison seemed to be the deepest punishment? Yet so many of us try and live our lives in solitary confinement, avoiding groups and people because we don't want to be part of a community. But the world sees it as a way to punish and to put people away. I've just lost his name. There was a guy in America who was 43 years, the longest ever period of solitary confinement. This guy was in for murder and for armed robberies. He got 43 years of solitary confinement. He was released at 69 years old. I couldn't find how he'd fitted into society, but it would have been pretty amazing to see if he was normal after being on your own in a 9x6 room for 43 years. After he was released, the United Nations have made a rule, and any country that agrees to the rules of the United Nations may not solitary confine anyone for more than 15 days. Isn't that amazing? They've passed it. That's a rule and a law about solitary confinement. How many Christians can go more than 15 days? Don't put your hand up. But I think we've got a problem. There's some people who think they can be away from the body of Christ. You cannot serve God and be away from the body of Christ. The two don't go together. It's interesting, even secular people are writing about the lack of community. There's a guy, Rajan is his name. He says that there are three pillars of society: the state, the markets, and the community. And he wrote a book called The Third Pillar, because he says, he traces that in history, how the state and the markets have grown, but over history, community has weakened. And he says of the three pillars, they need to be brought back into equilibrium. Community needs to be brought up again. And we've just gone through a period, I think, where community has been the most desolated ever in the history of mankind. We've had people locked down. I think Melbourne got 2 years. Parts of China are still living under lockdown. We've just isolated people and pulled them away. Another guy by the name of Rusty writes a book called Better Together. And I'll just read some of the, I don't know what they call, the forwards, you know, people who make a few comments about the book. One of them said, he helps us realize that drifting towards isolation, if you keep drifting towards isolation, one day you'll realize that loneliness is not really what you were seeking. Someone else said that when Amazon can deliver something in 1 hour, we are becoming increasingly more an isolated people if we so choose. We are definitely created for more. And then another one, a doctor from a church in America wrote, better together gets at the problem we have always had. But it is so much harder now. I have less time and more things to do. Sometimes I just don't care enough, or I'm not an extrovert. My friend Rusty, who wrote this book, he will help you find a way to balance and hopefully convince you that it's not too late to have and to be a friend. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, and I'm talking under, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old even, we always had people in our house. We never left church alone on a Sunday. We were either going to someone's house or someone was coming to our house. I can't count how many times we were at the dinner table, and there was a knock on the door, and the family just arrived. Oh, make space, and we all squeezed in, and we all ate a bit less, but they were in our house, and there were people in our house all together. I wonder tonight, if we did a quick survey here, how many people have been into each other's houses in this place? I can probably count maybe six of you, maybe seven. that I've been into your house. What kind of community are we living if we don't have people come over? We had good friends in South Africa. We'd go to Connect Group at night on the way home at 9 o'clock. We'd go, we should pop in quickly. And we'd go bang on the door and they'd shout the keys under the mat and they'd be in the bedroom. We'd go upstairs, make tea and coffee and sit in their bedroom and drink that. And that was community. We were hanging out. We were doing stuff together. But nowadays, we're so busy, we all say the famous last words, I will look at my diary. Or we must catch up. And does it ever happen? It doesn't. Because we're living in the society that's so busy. Isn't it fascinating, the amount of adverts on TV, and since I've been preparing for this, I've been watching, the amount of adverts on TV want to sell relaxation and rest and community. There's always people around a barbecue and all these things, but what they're selling is the barbecue or the type of meat. That's what you need to get it. But that's not actually what you need. You need the people. Yeah. The people make the community, not the product. And we see all of these things. A simple thing like the Sabbath. We see people lying in bed in the morning, having breakfast in bed, and they're trying to sell the linen. These fancy silk sheets is what you need. No, you need to actually stop and take a time and rest. But the society sells to us very different things. And so we need to make sure that we're not just becoming like society does. In Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to the society. Don't be so conformed to the society that you just fit in. And sometimes I think as a church, we've done that. We have rosters and schedules and we're so busy, we can't fit in. The excuse list for not attending church or not being part of the community has grown bigger than the reasons for coming to church and being part of the community. Pastor Eleanor sent out a whole lot of verses and said we should choose one. Well, I couldn't choose one, so I've chosen about 10. So I hope there's something left for anyone else to speak about. But yeah, there's some of the verses that talk about one another. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another. How many of you are devoted to the people around you? Don't put your hand up. You might not be able to. Romans 13:8, love one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another. Galatians says, serve one another. Last week, we had a great example of people just helping and getting in and serving one another. Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, be patient, bearing with one another. Colossians 3:16 says, teach and admonish one another. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, encourage each other. Hebrews 10:24 says, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:25 then says, encourage one another. In Peter, it goes on and says, live in harmony with one another. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another. And 1 John 1:7 says, have fellowship with one another. You see, I think the word one another needs to become a key for us. I love riding my motorbike, but I couldn't think of anything worse than doing it on my own. I want to take other people with me because I want someone to be able to tell the story to, and I want to have a laugh with someone. And we need to get used to and learn to take people on the journey with us and to do things with us. I love the story my father-in-law told me many, many years ago. They used to have deacons in church. Anyone from that time when they used to have deacons? There's a few hands. So a deacon was baby, I don't know what they were. Is it an usher? I don't know. It was one of the people who was sort of second-tier leadership sort of thing. Anyway, they had heard that one of the other deacons was going to get divorced. And it was a Monday night, and he called three of the other deacons. So obviously there were more than one deacon in a church. And they got all of these three guys together, and they went and banged on the guy's door. It was about 9 o'clock at night. And he opened up, and they sat in the kitchen, and they sat there till 1 or 2 in the morning, convincing this guy that he should not get divorced. And they were not going to go. He said, we're not going to leave until you change your mind. And I think he got tired, and about 1 or 2, he changed his mind. He said, okay, I'm going to stay married. And before my father left the church, they were still married, so I don't know the rest of the story. But I just thought, man, isn't that so ironic of the way things work today. Today we hear that they're getting divorced when they've separated and moved out already. Because we're not living in community and we don't hear those things. We need to get a little bit closer together and hear what's happening. We don't need to have a look on Facebook. We all feel we're connected because we've got friends on Facebook. And I know what's going on in that person's life and that person's because I see it on Facebook. Well, they're only posting the good stuff. You need to hang around with them to see what's happening with the other stuff. And so we need to make sure that we are making a concerted effort to live in community. Loneliness can be the worst thing in the world. And people can be in a busy place and be lonely. You need to be connecting with people in a real and genuine way. And so I want to finish off with one scripture. And I love the title of that book was, We're Better Together. I believe as the body of Christ, we're better together. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which communion which we did tonight, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Can I say, maybe we are not living in the fellowship like God intended, and that's why we're not seeing as many people saved as we really want to. We need to get the body of Christ together in such a unity, in a common unity, that people who are not saved will go, man, I want to be part of that. I want to be included in that. I don't want to be left out. There's something going on. I see the way you love each other, the way you look after each other, the way you get down and help and get involved. When people see that and really see God's love in action, they'll have no choice but to long to have that for themselves. Can you all stand, please? I'm going to pray, and then I actually would like us to sing a worship song if we can. And then I'll hand back to Shannon. While we're singing this, I just want you to think and just say to God, honestly, God, what can I do better in community? Maybe you need to get a bit more involved in a connect group. Maybe you need to change some of the friends you're hanging around with and make sure you're hanging around with enough people who have a common unity with you or thinking the way you want to think. Maybe you just come and go. You come in late and you leave early because you don't really want to connect with anyone. I want to challenge you. Just say before God, God, what are the things you want to talk to me about? And God will put stuff on your heart. We need to make sure that we have a common unity and that we are drawing closer to God, which will draw us closer to the people around us.